Okay, we're in Nesilas Shalom, Parshat Miketz. We are on page Resh Ayin Bet, which is Otiot Ayin Resh Bet. I assume because they didn't want to write Ra'av, which means starving, I guess.
So interesting.
I guess, assumably. I'm not sure. I mean, they do it also 2 pages before with air, but that's because it makes the word ra. You don't have it on your things, but I don't know why ra'av. I've never noticed that before. But it says eish ayin resh bet, but it's resh ayin bet and resh ayin gimel. The piece ein navon v'chacham kamocha. Right. So we have at the beginning of the parsha, Yosef is brought to Paro and asked to interpret his dreams. He interprets Paro's dreams successfully, as is Yosef's way. And Melech Mitzrayim says to Yosef, "Ein navon v'chacham kamocha." There's nobody as understanding and wise as you. Okay. Acharei hodia Elokim otcha et kol zot ein navon v'chacham kamocha. Says Paro, after God has revealed all of this to you, right? We've got a very from Yosef and a very from Paro at this point in Chumash. Yosef stays from Paro, not as much. Et kol zot ein navon v'chacham kamocha. There's clearly nobody as understanding and as wise as you. Yishlamar akavana bazel derech ma'amar maran asaba kadosh misalim zekutoy gan alidu b'ma'amar chazal. Hamekadish et ha'isha almanat shani tzadik gamor afilu rasha gamor mikudeshet shema hir tshuva bidato. So this is one of these Lamdisha Gemaras. It's quoted a lot, meaning quoted in Lamdisha Sugyas. The concept that that a person could be mekadish a woman, right? So somebody says, if a man says to a woman, harat mikudeshet li almanat shani tzadik, if he says to her on condition that I'm a tzadik gamor. It says, even if he's a Rasha Gamor, the Kiddushin is Chal, Mikudeshet. Why? Shemahir her tshuva bida'atu. Because it could be that he had your Hurei tshuva at that moment. It could be that he thought about doing tshuva at that moment. And therefore, the Kiddushin is Chal, because at that moment he's a Tzadik Gamor.
What is Chal?
It takes effect. I mean, it really means like rest on something. But yeah, it means to take effect. Hold on a second. Okay. This Seder. So it's a very odd halachic concept. As he says, Shadavar Tamua, which is astonishing. Ich yishtaneh rasha gamor birega echad shemaraher b'tshuva lehafeich l'tzadik gamor. How is it possible that in 1 second, a rasha gamor, just by having a little bit of your hurei tshuva, just thinking about tshuva, can become a tzadik gamor? And it's to the extent where the kedushin is chal. That's a serious thing. Once the kedushin is chal, you need a get. Like, it's not like, it's not like when modern day engagers put a ring on the finger and like, you know, if it doesn't work out, it's okay. Like, you have 6 months to think about it. Like, when you had kedushin, like, that was it. You were together. So how is it possible that just because if he's a Rasha Gomer, he says, Amanach Ni Tzadik Gomer, that's a very strange thing. V'amar al zeh shechazal diku bilshonam. So the Slonimer says that Chazal, doesn't need the Slonimer to say this, but everybody says this, but he's picking up here on the fact that Chazal were very careful in their Lashon. It says, Shema hir tshuva bida'ato. Less, because he might have thought about tshuva in his mind, in his da'at. V'lo amru shemahir tshuva b'libo. It doesn't mean that he thought about tshuva in his heart, specifically in his da'at. Shedat hu akolel midot chokhma ubina. The da'at contains within it the midot of chokhma and bina as well. In the upper sphere, we've been talking a lot whenever it comes up about the lower sphirot, right? Last time we talked a little bit about Yisod in the context of Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Chod, Yisod, and Malchut. There are an upper three, Chochma, Bina, and Da'at, to create the total system of 10. Right, Asara Ma'amarot, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with. Those are the 10. There's 10 Makot, there's 10 Dibrot. All of the 10s are going to be connected, and they're all stemming from these core Midot, which are the lower 7 Midot, and then the upper 3 Midot. So he's saying that Da'at, which is kind of the culmination of the entire understanding process, it goes in order, Chachma, Bina, and Da'at. It contains the entirety of the process in it. V'nei Chachma, Mocha, Ubina, Liba. Chachma is in the mind, Bina is in the heart. Yish Tshuva, Shemekora, B'moach, Hanovat, Mitoch, Havanah, Sichlit. So he says that there's a Tshuva that in the source, in the mind, which stems from an understanding of the intellect. There's also a tshuva that comes from the feelings of the heart, meaning a person can think, wow, I did something wrong, I really need to do tshuva. And a person can feel, oh my God, I can't believe I did that, I feel horrible, I really need to do tshuva. You can think it or you can feel it. It can come from the mind, it can come, he's saying, from the da'at. And he's linking bina to the lev. One's more intellectual, one's more emotional. But tshuva can come from either one of those places. But true tshuva is going to be the synthesis of understanding the nature of what one did wrong and also feeling what one did wrong. Of having that sense, that feeling of guilt, that feeling of distance and wanting to be close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And also an understanding of the severity of what one actually did when one did the chait. So wants to claim the Slonimer that Chazal, don't tell anybody, probably also knew Kabbalah, right? That Chazal also were aware of these different levels of Chacham Bina Da'at, and it specifically is going out of its way to say Shemahir Her Tshuva B'Da'ato, meaning that there was Hirhuri Tshuva on all levels of being, all the way through to the Da'at, which means a total connection to that Tshuva, a total connection to that knowledge. The way that it's often described in terms of understanding in a superficial way the distinction between Chochma Bina and Da'at. That Chochma is knowledge, meaning when we're sitting here and we're learning together, so we hear the words in the Netivot Shalom, and that's a level of Chachma. I understand there's a tshuva of Chachma, I understand that there's a tshuva of Bina, I understand that there's a tshuva of Da'at. That's my Chachma, I understand, I'm hearing it and I'm taking it in, right? But then, I have to start to process a little bit. And I want to understand, how does that work with my previous understanding of tshuva? How does that work in my own life? How do I apply it? How do I understand that in the context of the other knowledge that I have? And I start to build with it. I start to build something up with it. I start to interweave it with everything else that I know. That's my process of bina. Binyan. Lahavin davar mitoch davar. I start to process it. I start to digest it. Then, when that knowledge is no longer knowledge which I've heard, or even thought about and began to understand, but that knowledge is part and parcel of who I am, that I and the knowledge are one, that's da'at. That's a complete union with that knowledge. It and I are one and the same. Right, that's from one of the first times that da'at appears in Chumash, is in the beginning of Perek Dalet, Va'adam yada'at Chava Ishto, that Adam and Chava had da'at. What does it mean that they had da'at? They had relations with each other. Meaning that da'at means an intimate connection, a union where two things become one. So here he's saying that not just this person had here Huri Tshuva Balev. He's not like, Tshuva's a nice thing to do. Maybe I should do Tshuva one day. Meaning he has Tshuva, the Mitivot Shalom is being Medayik, that when the Gemara says no, it's going out of its way to be Medayik. Shemahir her Tshuva B'da'ato. That he mamish had serious Huri Tshuva on the essence of his being. That's what we're considering to be legitimate. Hainu, tshuva b'midat ha'da'at ha'kolelat chochma mocha avin aliba. Tshuva on a level where it encompasses all levels of being, the mind, the heart, all levels of being. U'tshuva kazo, shehi hein mitzad ha'moach v'hein mitzad ha'lev. And this type of tshuva, which comes both from the moach and from the lev, zo tshuva shlema shebichochacha la'afuch rasha gemor letzadik. This is a tshuva on a level which shemamis b'mahapich ha'rasha to a tzadik. If a person's whole being is screeching with tshuva, from their mind to their heart, every level of their being recognizes, I'm far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to get close, I need to get back. If they're one with that tshuva, in that moment, even if it's only in their mind, or meaning kilu, even if it's only in their inner being, they haven't expressed it yet, that's a tshuva that can mamash transform a person. That's what the Slonimer is claiming that the Gemara means. Al derech zeh, right, what does that have to do with Paro and Yosef? Al derech zeh, yishlamar gam pasuk zeh, this also is by our pasuk. Achari hodia Elokim otcha et kol zot. After God has already given you da'at of all of this, meaning already given you the da'at that I've seen this Paro, if you're being able to interpret the dreams. Hainu, shasagta et midat ha'da'at, since after God has given you the level of da'at, the mida of da'at, otu she'ein navon v'chacham kamocha. Definitionally, there can be nobody as mevin or as chacham as you, because you're already a bar da'at. Evidently, Paro is also a mekuba. Yeah? So he says that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has clearly put you in a place where you have a level of Da'at Elokim, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is permeating your whole being and your understanding on this level, there can't possibly be, it's Efshar, that there's a Chacham or a Navon like you, because you're already on the level of Da'at. You totally surpassed everything. Shasagta Chochma utvuna. You've already grasped chachma and bina. Kidat mida kolelet shel chachma utvuna. Because dat is that mida kolel which already encompassed the previous midot of chachma and bina. Vadhikdim navon lechacham. V'chein ra'ayel b'mamar yosif leparo v'yata yirei faro ish navon v'chacham ayin be'erachayim be'orachayim mashateshev bazeh. And if you're curious why both Yosef and Paro precede Chachma with the word Bina in both of their psukim, so on Shabbos you can open up the Orachayim and see what he says. Okay? Tov. Umadregazo ne'emral Yosef she'ayel umidat Hadat. This is said about Yosef, who has the midah of das. Mishum sheyos de Yosef, who midat yisod. Coming back to the inyan that we spoke about last week, right? We were both here last week.
No, I wasn't.
Well, we'll try to do the Cliff's Notes version if we need to. But you remember we talked about all the inyan of yisod, yeah? Okay, so we'll see how far we have to go into it. Well, hopefully we'll get to go around it. Mishum de Yosef, who midat yisod. Yosef is the midah of yisod. Asher reshita begam midah zo, who bemoach hadat kayadua. So we talked about it very, very much in short, and worthwhile checking out last week's Nisivo Shalom, because it's really the foundations of foundation, right? Yisod means foundation, but it's the foundations of the Midah of Yisod. To just be clear, succinct, and short, that Yisod is the Midah of, it's the Midah that takes all of the other Midot, all of the upper of the lower five, right? We're in the lower seven. It takes the top five, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod. And those are held in potential. They need to be funneled into reality through Yisod, and then they can be received and expressed through Malchut. But that which brings potential into actual, that's the Midah of Yisod. On a much more literal, physical, biological level, it's Keneged the masculine midah of taking all of that potential and sending it through that funnel and to allow it to actualize, and that's why it's keneged the reproductive organs in terms of the body. That's where all of the potential comes forth and out. That's why Yosef's whole essence is that what he's bringing about is a tikkun in this midah, in the sense that what's his biggest nisayon? What's the nisayon of Yosef? What defines him? What gives him definition in the stories of his experience in Mitzrayim?
Potiphar.
Ishet Potiphar, right? That's his nisayon. Is he going to waste his potential and not focus it anywhere, or is he going to guard his potential, literally run out of the house in order to save himself and hold himself in a place where he's only going to take that potential and only put it forth if it's going to bear fruit? Mm-hmm. He's focusing all his potential into actualizing. So too, we talked about how Yosef is going to end up being the person who is Mechalkel. He gives, literally bears the fruit of all Mitzrayim. He's the one who's going to gather in all of the grain and give sustenance, give life, give the literal fruits of Mitzrayim to sustain both Mitzrayim and his whole family. The Midah of Yisod is, we took from the Pasuk of Kikol Bashamayim Uva'aretz. It's literally producing everything in the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. It's taking all of those spiritual essence and bringing it down to manifest. Yosef is bringing all of the potential down and allowing it to stay in the physical world. But it's all about the movement of potential into actual and about gearing all potential and demanding its actualization. To give a little bit of a hint, since we're not going to be, we actually are going to be on campus, we're probably going to do it Tu B'Shvat Seder. But as all of this is leading into the beginning of the Parshiot of Shmot, we mentioned last time, a particular time of the year, which focuses on these Inyanim. And also, as we're in Chanukah, but we're already getting to Tu B'Shvat. We're slowly but surely, we still have Tevet, but it's our preparing now. That's also Tu B'Shvat, right? Tu B'Shvat is all coming around the end of the Yosef Parshiot and the Yitzias Mitzrayim and all of these things. What is Tu B'Shvat all about? Making sure that you actualize your potential. It's the prizing of the day. It's the celebration of the day where the tree transforms all of its water into sap, where it takes all of the potential energy that it's stored up over the course of the winter, and not when it starts to produce the fruit, but where it gears all of what it's taken in into putting it into the sap, which is going to be what produces the fruit. It's Yisod is definitionally the transformation of potential into actual without wasting an ounce. That's the goal. Being totally focused, vectored, focused on the future, focused on building, focused on producing fruit. That's what Yosef is all about. Now, usually when you see it come up in Sifrei Chasidut and Kabbalah, it will limit itself to talking more explicitly about Inyanim of Tarab and Ishlisha, because that's the most prominent example in difficult struggle. in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world that way. Kacha. So that's usually where it's talked up, but it's in all cases. And when one recognizes that, again, when you read the stories of Yosef, and again, even just the fact, like, it's like, wow, yeah, he is the one who's mechalkel the entirety of the world. Like, he's bringing life to the whole world on a literal level of sustaining them and feeding them. These are what all of the Yosef parshiot are about. And also, Yosef, as he goes through, is the bridge into Sefer Shemot. Yosef, whose bones need to take us out of Egypt. Yosef, whose bones need to take us throughout Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. We're told we're in Hanukkah, right? So the Medrash links the links from Hallel. It says Vayar Hayam Vayanos, right, in Hallel in Tehillim. So the Gemara says, as only Chazal can do, what did the sea see? What did it see that it ran away? So it says, just like by Yosef, it says Vayanas Vayitzei Hachutza. So too is Vayar Hayam Vayanos, that somehow it was Dafka the Atzmos Yosef, it was Dafka the bones of Yosef and only the bones of Yosef that could have on the one hand split the sea and allowed for Yetzias Mitzrayim, and also food for thought, what would specifically require the destruction of the Egyptians be that they would end up having the water crash down on them and drowning them. All of that's in the schos of Yosef's bones. And had they not been there, that wouldn't have been able to happen. Start to put the pieces together, but this is all a theme which takes us all the way through. And as we mentioned last time, not only all the way through that, but also the bones of Yosef take us to where? Chazal link it to the crossing of the Yarden, the splitting of the Yarden also. It's got a lot of water things going on, a lot of splitting of waters going on. And if you actually look at it in terms of Yosef being what needs to eventually also define our relationship to Eretz Yisrael, which fits also everything that we've said in terms of creating a level of purity within the context of Eretz Yisrael, the conclusion of Sefer Yehoshua, which is the conclusion of the settling of Eretz Yisrael, not only ends with the death of Yehoshua, but goes out of its way to mention the burying of the bones of Yosef. But you watch this thread take us from Parshat Vayeshev all the way through the end of Sefer Yehoshua. And this is key to the establishment, the sustaining, and the conclusion of this of the Jewish people is a lot about, I would say, in a big adol, big picture, 50% about purity in the area of Ben Yishlisha, purity in the area of Yosef. What's the other 50%, if those of you who've met me before? Purity in the area of? The other half of Kedusha. You all think this is your first semester's type of place. We did a whole semester on just Kedusha Sa'achila. Achila is the other half. Kedusha Sa'achila is the other half. Mm-hmm. But Kedusha Sa'achila, and again, Yosef is the one who's Mechalkel Mitzrayim. Not so surprising that he's the person who's funneling both areas of Kedusha, also in terms of food. But the two halves of Kedusha are Benish Lisha and food, and he's living Kedusha. He's a living embodiment of Kedusha, which is who we are. We become a Malecha Kohanim Vegoy Kadosh, and to the extent that we're a Malecha Kohanim Vegoy Kadosh, then we live up to our potential. To the extent that we're not, then we're not being the people who we're meant to be, and then history gets derailed. But the whole Inyan here is that's what the whole focus here, the whole funneling of where we're trying to end up. In short. That was the short version. So, okay. So coming back to what we were talking about, so he says, Umadre Gazo Ne'emra, after the parentheses, Umadre Gazo Ne'emra, Al Yosef, Shayalo Midat Adat, that Yosef has this Midah of Dat. Mishum de Yosef Umidat Yisod, he's the Midah of Yisod. He's the foundation of the whole world, is the dependency upon the moving from potential to actual. Asher Rishita Pagam Midah, so the beginning of the Pagam and the Midah of Yisod. It comes in the mind. V'yosef atzadik shaya tzadik midat zo v'taher below shum pigam hisig et shlimut midat adat. Kilu, for a person to really have a purity in the midah of yisod, the person needs to have a purity of dat, because all of the pigamim, all of the damages in the midah of yisod are all going to come from the mind. The mind is where it begins. The mind is where it begins. On a negative level, kilu, what a person sees, what a person looks at, that defines what they think about. And what a person thinks about, that causes the reality of what a person then consciously or unconsciously will end up getting involved in. That's where everything starts. Everything starts with the mind. Second of all, even when you think about it on a more Kabbalistic level, on a more deeper level, a more intimate level, the Mikubalim talk about how in the moment of intimacy between a husband and a wife, what the person has in mind will affect the nature of the neshama that comes down. Kilu, everything in the midah of Yisod starts in the moach. We know that also in modern day biology and biochemistry and all these types of things. Kilu, the hormones start in the brain, and that's what allows for that relationship to happen. But everything is starting in the mind. That's on a biological level, but on a spiritual level, which the biology is indicating, is that the whole essence of where it's coming from, of where everything is coming from in that relationship, it's all coming from the mind. And so the purity of that relationship, and therefore the purity of the soul that comes out of that relationship, is all coming from the moach. And again, lehefech, if anything a person makes a mistake in the midah of yisod, it all comes from first the pagam in the mind. What we see on the internet, kilu, and I'm talking about simply the shows that we download and the shows that we watch and the secular culture's influence on what's acceptable and what's not, and the billboards in Times Square and the ads that no matter how hard you try to make your screen smaller or scroll down, they follow you. You know, I'm saying like all of these things, like that. Where does it start? It starts in the mind. But the mind is the beginning of that process that begins the degeneration that slowly but surely whittles down a person's capacity for Kedusha. Right? What are the two things, if you will, if you want to even think about it like that, that have the greatest volume of advertisements that are meant to draw you in a negative direction? Two things that are most used are issues of arayos, right? Nobody wears clothing in advertisements. What's the second largest advertising industry, or the meaning, food? Of course, meaning, and specifically, what type of food? It's not the apple orchards, right? It's all fast food. It's all fast food. Same thing. What is the world trying to bombard us with? It's trying to corrupt us on a moach level, and all in Yanei Kedusha. It's a very, very subtle thing because you don't even notice it, but once it creeps into the mind, it's the beginning of the end. And the more one is able to guard one's mind, and by extension, therefore, guard what we talked about, I think, all the way at the beginning of the year. I think we did the piece on the Zion Shari de Galgaluta, the seven gates of the head. That was the first piece of this year, right? Yeah. It says, the pasuk says, Kitivna bayit chadash, vasita makel agegecha, that when you build a new house, you have to build a fence for your roof. So whatever the piece is there, he understands that making a fence for your roof specifically is a fence for your head, that if you have to guard the openings to your body in a way that what you take in is going to define who you are, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, that those are the seven gates of the head, and that's what guards the mind. And you're the gatekeepers. We're the gatekeepers. But the most damaging way in which that affects us, not only in corrupting our mind, but then eventually corrupting the way in which the nature of what we produce in the world on every level. It defines our mind, defines our actions, our choices, and then inevitably it also defines our literal and spiritual children in the world, and where we focus our productive energy on all levels. Tov. Yeah. You never know where he's going to go, so this is the piece we got. But these are important. They're important in the name nonetheless. It's just the two pages. That's it. I took a small piece. So he says, Mash Einkin. So meaning kilu Yosef definitionally has to have Tarat Hadat, because if he didn't, then he couldn't have Tara and the Midah Yisod, because one stems from the other. If there was a Pagam in the Dat, there would be a Pagam in the Yisod. Mash Einkin, Kashir Yish Pagam B'moach, when there's a Pagam in the mind, as Adam Mivulbal V'chaseira Lo Shlimut Hadat V'haru'ya, that when a person has a Pagam in this Midah, then he's Mivulbal and he's lacking, he's confused and he's lacking perfection in this area. Right, I think we've actually spoken about this before also in different levels, that even on that any way in which a person guards themselves, Ben Ish Lisha, I don't remember if we talked about this in context of this or in the context of Hanukkah. I don't know why it would come in Hanukkah, but who knows where he goes in the piece. I think we spoke about how, I think it was last week, that the more a person purifies themselves in these areas, the more that they're open to Torah. But this is what he's talking about. That's exactly what he's saying here. Meaning when a person, but why Dafkan Yisod? Meaning it means that a person has purified their mind. And at the source, they've purified their mind. So the more you purify your mind and your heart, the greater your midah of yisod. But that means the greater your midah of yisod, the greater your ability to purify the kalim, the vessels that you have with which to receive Torah, your mind and your heart. And so the more one is careful of any inyan ben ish lisha, it could be, we talked before, it could be in issues of nigia, it could be in issues verbally, it could be flirtation, it could be issues of what you look at, it could be what you listen to in terms of music, all of these inyanim. The more a person purifies themselves on these levels, the more a person, it's on a visceral level, is open to receive Torah and receive a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You feel the difference. It's yomam v'layla. And these are issues which a person can work on an entire lifetime, especially in the world that we live in. Especially in the world that we live in. I think Dr. Pelkovitz quotes a statement, I forget from whom, a Rebbe who had to bring his... his Talmidim, Chassidish Rebbe, I forget, it was 50, I remember it being 50 years ago when he told the story. And he said that that taking a bus through Times Square, his Chassidim saw more pritzos in that 1 hour that they ever saw in their entire lives. 50 years ago. 50 years ago. And for us, it's like, it walks around in our pockets. It's like, it's a crazy thing. You know, it walks around on campus. It walks around, I mean, everywhere. It doesn't matter what you're seeing, whether it's a guy jogging without a shirt or whether it's a girl who's not dressing sanua. Even if you're a girl, it impacts your psyche. What's acceptable and what's not acceptable? How much easier would it be if I could just go to Target and buy whatever I wanted and didn't have to leave half of the stuff behind because it doesn't just go below the knee? Kilo, like all of these things, but that's a pagam in the moach. That's the frustration that's coming from what we see in the world around us. That meaning it's just as much real for men as women as it is for men. There's no myla in a woman looking at what the ads on the side of the internet. There's no myla just because of a woman is a woman. It's worse for a man in a chinami, and they're getting pretty good at making sure that men are not dressed properly either. But the idea there is everything seeps in slowly but surely to distort the way we see the world in its proper context, the way we relate to tsniut, the way we relate to tsniut, just not in terms of literal clothing, but tsniut in terms of what it means to be a person who's an internal person versus a superficial external person. What that means. What that value is, how precious that is, especially with the difficulty of the challenges that poses in terms of the choices that we have to make on all levels of being, mentally, physically, verbally, spiritually, all of these decisions that we have to make that are all nuances of the midah of Yisod. Sorry, one of those. I apologize. You can stop me if you want. You guys you're also very quiet.
That's good.
It's okay.
Yes.
Tough. Okay. B'zeh Omro. So Paro says to him, after God has given you da'at in all of this, you achieve the midah of da'at, there's clearly nobody who has as much bina or chachma as you without any pagam, without any blemish or damage. That your moach has to be complete and your lev has to be complete for you to have this da'at. V'zehu v'tariv kol ha'aretz Mitzrayim v'yitzak ha'am el paro l'lechem v'yom paro l'chol Mitzrayim l'chu al Yosef asher yumar lachem ta'asu. Right, and we already hinted to this as being connected to very deeply connected to Yosef as well. That this is what it says when all of Mitzrayim came and were screaming out to Paro for bread because it was during the famine. V'yom paro lechem. Paro said, l'chol Mitzrayim, to all of Mitzrayim, l'chol Yosef, go to Yosef, don't talk to me, go to Yosef. Asher yomar lechem tasu, whatever he tells you, that's what you should do. Right? We also said last time, Yosef milashon, la'asif, to gather in all of that potential and make sure it's actualized. He's pulling everything and he's pulling everything together. He's not letting anything fall by the wayside. Everything is focused, everything is targeted, everything is intended. V'amru Chazal, shekishe ba'u el paro, when they came to Paro, amar lahem, v'lamat lo tzavartem bar, amru lo asfenu harbe v'harkiva. Paro said, why didn't you gather in your crops? Why didn't you keep food for yourselves? They said to him, asafnu harbe, we did gather in a lot, v'hir kiva. Mazahir Kiva. I assume it means it went away or it rotted, it was lost. I'm unclear, but clearly it didn't sustain itself, being the Enyan there. Meaning they knew, meaning, right, you start to get suspicious when for 7 years, right, there's these massive trucks, right, all driving all throughout Mitzrayim, right? Yosef food storage unlimited, right? You know, and they're all traveling throughout Mitzrayim for 7 years, and so like something's up. By year three, they're like, I don't know, something's going on, right? You know, you figure that they knew that this was coming. Yosef was gathering crops, was building storehouses for years, and gathering and saving grain. I always wondered about that. I never knew this medrash per se. So he's saying no, that they did gather it, and it just didn't. Again, I'm not sure what the word here kiva means, but for some reason, it didn't sustain itself. So what is he saying? It's what the medrash is saying is as follows: Anyan mazeh, dinya pegam shel Mitzrayim ayirvat ha'aretz. What was the whole inyan of Mitzrayim? And again, this links into, if you want to start building in your minds these structures of why this leads into Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kiyos Yamsuf, all of these things. What's the inyan of Mitzrayim? So the paradigm, the whole paradigm is in Yosef. I mean, clearly Yosef is the linchpin. The whole paradigm is in Yosef. What do we say the defining moment of Yosef was?
His Nisayon of Ages.
Eshet Potifar. So that's on the Bereishis level. That's the Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim. That the way to survive Mitzrayim, that Mitzrayim is embodied by Eshet Potifar as being a land like her, who's Male Arayos, who's obsessed with Arayos. And the way to survive, and the way to Lanus mi Mitzrayim, Vayar Ha'am Vayanos, the way to get Yitzias Mitzrayim is Vayar Vayanas Achutza, is to dafka, to run out, to totally stay away from all these inim, to guard oneself in the meat of Yisod. The whole challenge of Mitzrayim was in areas of Kedusha, which, by the way, makes sense. Ayur Mamlecha Go'anim V'Goy Kadosh, we define ourselves when we're finally born as a people. We're born on the contrasting background of Mitzrayim, meaning we're born on the contrasting background of Arayos. We're the Mamlecha Go'anim V'Goy Kadosh. We're meant to be the Goy Kadosh that's born on the contrasting background of Mitzrayim, which is Ervata Aretz. Their whole essence is erva. Their whole essence is issues of Arayos. That was Mitzrayim was Mali Arayos. That's also back in the paradigm, right? It was the first time that we encountered Mitzrayim on a bracious level. In a Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim level, who's the first one to encounter Mitzrayim? Nu? In Parshat Lech Lecha?
Abraham,
where does he go to Mitzrayim? No, what happens? There's a famine in the land.
Right.
Sounds kind of familiar. There's a famine in the land.
That's so
interesting. No, I'm saying, think about the parallels.
Yeah.
There's a famine in the land, so he needs to go into exile, and he goes down to Mitzrayim. But he has to tell Sarah to say he's his sister, because why? Because if it was his brother, they'd kill him and steal her, because they have issues with Arayos. And everything works out because the Kadosh Baruch Hu protects them, and because she's shomer on being close to her husband Avraham, and so they're thrown out of Egypt with, wouldn't you know it, rechush gadol, mamash maaseh avot siman labanim. Right? This is like, they're all setting the stage. All of Bereishis is setting the stage for Jewish history, but on a much more literal and very very specific level, Yosef is the one who's setting that stage. But Mitzrayim's whole inyan is Arayos. From the first time we meet them as this, if you really want to go back as the son of Cham, Kilu Cham, who's also Malei Arayos, he's the one who brings Arayos over through the Teva and out the other side. Mitzrayim is one of the sons of Cham, and then it expresses itself in the interaction with Avraham. As an aside, one of the children of Mitzrayim is Plishtim. So then the two times we also have issues with one of the Avos going down and having their wives taken are with Plishtim, who are also coming from Mitzrayim. It's all the same issue again and again and again. This is who they are in their essence. And it plays out, if you follow it, it plays out literally through all of Tanakh. Their whole issue is Arayos. So he says, meaning they lost all of their tvua, they took all of their potential and wasted it. It wasn't sustained. Their fruit was not able to be sustained. It creates a reality of emptiness. It doesn't produce fruit. Their reality is a reality that can't produce fruit because they're so busy spreading their potential and wasting their potential instead of gearing their potential to producing fruit of the future. Ukimamar Marana Marino Varabinu, Marino Varabinu bitch. I don't know what sefer that is. Dalit Shin. I'm not familiar with sefer Chassidut off the top of my head with the Dalit Shin. He was a Rebbe. So Kazina gonna lean on La Pasuk. Vayitapik Vayomir Simulechem. They said, give us bread. Shekasher Yudim Itapik Mimaleta Avato. We saw this pasuk last time. In the previous piece also, he quoted the same pasuk from last week's piece. Vayitapik, if they stop, right? If they hold back, then vayumar simu lechem. And then you say, give them lechem. Shakashir yidim itapik milemaleta avato. Remember this from last time? That when a Jew says stop and doesn't go to immediately fulfill their physical desires, then Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu simu lechem. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then I'll give you everything. Meaning when a Jew shows self-restraint and maintains their potential to wait for it to be in a situation where it's definitely going to produce fruit, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're not wasting it, then I will give you the sustenance you need to keep going forward. Then I'll give you the simu lechem. If you hold back, then I'll give you simu lechem. If you're, we talked about last time, Vateshav Be'itan Kashto. That's the bracha on Vayichi that Yaakov gives Yosef. That he's sitting and he holds his bow and arrow held firmly. Meaning he doesn't shoot his arrows aimlessly. He waits and holds them until they're geared, vectored toward the future. Right? So if one holds back on one's ta'avot, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care, we'll give you the lechem. Shekasher yudim et apik melev chule, shenotnim lo kol tzrachav, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you all of your needs. Umitzrayim shem ha'efech mi vayitapek. Mitzrayim, which was the opposite, which only was running for instant gratification. Nirkav lahem hakol vatarev mitzrayim lechem. They lost everything and they were desperate for food. Vayomer Paro. So Paro says the whole Mitzrayim, Lechuel Yosef, go to Yosef. Asher Yomar Lachem, to see whatever he tells you to do. Vamru Chazal, Yosef Amar Lehem She Yimolo Atzmam. Right, again, because when you start to see these Midrashim, now everything makes sense why it's constantly revolving around the same issues. So what does Yosef tell them to do? Get a bris milah. You want your food to sustain? I can give you food, it's not going to go anywhere. Literally and figuratively, go get a bris milah. Only by fixing this midah in yourselves on all levels of being, of actually looking to focus your potential, of not just being pure ta'avanim, of just being people who are you know, obsessed with fulfilling their physical desires. Everything he says, go and do. There's no etza, there's no other way to do it. I mean, Paro was like, there's nothing else to do. I mean, either go and do what Yosef says, or you could try lots of other stuff, but it's not going to go anywhere. The only person who can help you is Yosef. The only midah that can help you is Yisod. There's nothing else to do, or you'll be lost. She says, the tikun midata da, this is again coming back to its source, the tikun and the midah of da'at. Ki miromaz be'omro acharei hodia lokim atcha at kol zot, right? This is the tikun of the midah of da'at, right? And this is all also talked about in terms of the concept of how everything is coming from the moach, and that's how Yisod comes about also. Recognize also that if... In the way that Chochma Bina Da'at are organized, the whole Midot are organized, you have Chochma, Bina, and Da'at. Da'at is in the center line. Da'at is in the center line. Yosef, who's Tiferet, is the torso, is in the center line. So Da'at is coming through Yaakov, and the Ikar Tolada of Yaakov is Eilat Adot Yaakov, Yosef, right? It's all following through on the center line. It's all the center of one's being are these Inyanim, purity of the Moach, of the Lev, and then allowing that to come into reality in a purity of state. It's all the center line of a person's being. Questions, thoughts, comments? Everybody okay?
Why would bris milah be what they need to do too?
Bris milah is the embodiment of taking that part of one's body and saying that instead of using it for myself, I'm going to literally give a piece of it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to dedicate it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to dedicate, it's a way of saying, it's a very crude physical level, but it's a way of saying on a much more spiritual level, I am dedicating all of my potential in this world, every action that I take in this world, every aspect of potential in this world, I'm dedicating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the most difficult layers of being. Which is why I suspect that the Gemara says that since the Gemara questions, what about a woman? Women can't have a bris milah. So the Gemara actually says that since women can't have a bris milah, so they're considered as already being nimol. Meaning not that they're not shayach, meaning everybody has a chilek in requiring this purity. Unsurprisingly, women achieve it mimela. Women are born on a higher spiritual level in that way. Men have to earn it, men have to work much harder for it. But not that women aren't shayach to it. The Gemara implies there that the women are simply more innately attached to that, more innately aligned with that, in a way where they're born, where they're already in that place. Not that they're not shaykh, that they're born in that place. So these are all relevant to everybody, both in all of their in almost all of their applications, but in all of their applications, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Tov?
Yeah.
Good question, though. Tov. And again, that's the idea of a bris milah. When is the bris milah done? Okay. On the 8th day. Why the 8th day? 7 days is everything in this world. 8 is an embodiment of moving beyond this world, having much more spiritual goals, pursuits, connectivity. Not being shakua, not being immersed only in the physical, but taking one's physicality and then elevating it one step beyond and taking all the things that are even the most physical of things. There's without being more explicit than we've been so far, there's nothing more physical than the moment between a husband and a wife. And the question that comes down to, when she'll discuss in hopefully in detail with your Kala teacher, Peshat Va Mutzlachat, is the question of how do you transform that from being something physical to being something that's both physical but also spiritual. That's the hardest thing for a person to be asked to do. The same thing with food. Let's use a more, you know, example we can be more explicit with, right? How do you take something where it tastes amazing? It tastes amazing. And I'm totally focused on this moment. You know, like, you see, you know, that people's face when they, like, try that, like, chocolate mousse cake that's, like, the most divine thing you've ever tasted. You know what they might say that's the most divine thing I've ever tasted? It's a way of saying that's avodah zarah. That's why it's divine. Right? It's avodah zarah. I mean, you're saying, like, I'm basically bowing down to the taste. If it were truly a divine moment, you'd be thinking, you'd be only be able to be modeh for it to a Kadosh Baruch Hu for giving this world the capacity to create something that could be such an amazing experience as a means to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu hodah. Then when you're done with that, you'll stop eating cake entirely because it's bad for you. But that's beside the point. I'm saying the idea there is a saying, meaning how do you transform something which is so innately pleasurable on a physical level that's also necessary? Something that's so focused on the moment, I'm starving, I'm feeding my need to eat. How do I take my mind off of the immediate physical gratification, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed in a way that it ignites my taste buds, and it brings me to a place of pleasure where I'm feeling nourished, and move my mind away from that and somehow focus on the Kedusha that's inherent in it in a way that takes it from not being focused on the moment, but focused on the future. Not focused on the moment, but focused on the physicality, but focused on the spirituality. That's what Kedusha is really about. And that's why it's those two inyanim. That's what we're talking about. That's heady stuff. That's Kedusha stuff. That's what Kedusha is all about. Tov. Shar Kol Hachayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Messiah, that only those people who were ready to get into Inyani Kedusha were here today. So, kudos to you, you wouldn't be here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shkacha practice. You can't deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shkacha. Tov. So let's go forward. So he says, U'bechinazo, Yish Nagam B'Shabbat. Unsurprisingly, in the Stivo Shalom, we have to say this is also the Bechin of Shabbos. Right, which is called Shabbos Kodesh, so that wasn't going to be much of a stretch. But it's also the Bechin of Shabbos. Kemo Dichtiv, Lida'at Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishkem. In order to know that I am the God who sanctifies you. Again, notice, regardless of whether he talks about Da'at or not, what word snuck in there? Mekadishkem. Even if he ignores that word, Kilu, this is what we're talking about. Ladat ki ani Hashem mekadishkem. Shabbat mashpia midat adat biyudia. That Shabbos is mashpia. It bestows the midah of dat unto a Jew. V'al pima de'ita bereishis chachma. That's what it says in the Kabbalistic Sefer Reishis Chachma. Shebishabbat mofia giloi ha'or. Shel shalosh rishonot midot chachma bina v'dat. That Shabbat, it creates a revelation of the lights. It bestows the light of the upper three midot, again above the lower seven. Those midot of Chochmah, Bina, Da'at, it shines it into a Jew. A little bit of something to walk away with that, right? So we talked about how there's a historical figure that brings each one of had brought one of the midot in their fullest into the world. Right? Avram Chesed, Yitzchak Vura, Yaakov Tiveret, Yosef Yisod, Vechulei, right? And what about the upper three? So one of the reasons why they're less accessible to us is because there hasn't yet been an individual who's going to bring them out in their fullness into the world. Who is the individual, the singular individual who's destined to be metake in the top three midot in the world?
Mashiach.
Yeah, I was going to say gave it away, right? Mashiach.
What are the top three?
Chochmah, Bina, and Da'at. Oh. What we've been talking about up until now, yeah. Which is where, when you put it into an acronym, that's where Chabad gets its name from, right? And a lot of Chabad Chassidus focuses on understanding those upper three midot. Tov, so why would that be linked to Shabbos Kodesh? What is Shabbos? Me'ein. And on Me'ein Olam Baba, what do we get a taste of also?
Shabbos.
What do we get a taste? No, well, yes. What do we get a taste of also? What is he saying right here? Chochmah Bina and Da'at. Kilu the midot which is shayach to Mashiach and la'atid lavo. So the time we get a shefa of the or of those midot is when we're living in a reality on Shabbos, which is the taste of la'atid lavo. Again, all of these things. The more we understand, the more connections just they jump out. Everything suddenly makes sense. That's the goal of seeing the larger picture. So he's saying on Shabbos we get a little bit of Chochmah Bina Da'at. Migilui ha'or azeh, from a revelation of this light. Kol shultanei. Rogzin umeare didina kulhu arkin vit abru mine velit shultana achara bechulu almin shekolkochot zidracha b'borchim umisalkim mipachar Hashem umehader geono hamitgale behofaat haor shel gimel rishonot. Kilu, all of the negative forces in this world are all running away. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu shines the light of Chacham and Adat into the world, the Sitra Achra, the negative forces, the Tumot, they all run away because they can't stand in the way of the light that's being shown off of these Gimel Rishonot when they reveal themselves on Shabbos. V'im Eitz al Kochot Sitra Achra, or Azeh Gorem Lahem Listalek Livruach, and if by the Sitra Achra, by the negative forces, the forces of the other side, this light can cause them to be totally removed and to run away. Hari Eitz al Yisrael Kasher Yored Lahem Giloi Hayarash al Shalosh Shonot, when by a Jew, when these top three are able to shine down upon them, the Chacham and Da'at, Masigim Hem LaDa'at Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. Then you understand. Then you have the Da'at of Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. And that happens on Shabbos, right? That was the Pasuk. That on Shabbos, that we were given Shabbat LaDa'at in order to achieve on a level of Da'at Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. So, Uvazei Shlomar Mashakatuv, Achidah, this is what the Achidah says, Benachal Kedumim, B'Shem HaReish Yischachma, Ala Pasuk, V'Shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha. In Parshat Ve'et Chanan, it says that you'll return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning Kilu, after you go through all of the difficulties of exile, Moshe Rabbeinu promises that then you will search for God in exile, and you will find Him, and then you will come and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, V'Shabbat Al Tiyot Shabbat. Kilu, Shabbat, it means V'Shavta. Mm-hmm. Shavta is Otiot Shabbat. Literally, it's not even Otiot, it's the same word. Mm-hmm. It's the same letter, you have to reorganize them. Kilu, this is all about Shabbat. Umevo'ar, shekol chet she'adam chotei, that every sin that a person does, gorim pegam chitoni pegam pnimi, it causes an external blemish in a person and an internal blemish in a person. Ve'im letaken ha'pegam chitoni mu'il tshuva uvichiyot. And in order to fix the externality of the sin, a person needs to do tshuva, needs to cry. But a way to fix the sin on an internal level, meaning kilu, when a person internalizes chait, when a person does a chait that becomes a part of them, the only way to get rid of it, the only way to burn it out is with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, shechina, burning it out from the inside, purifying it from the inside. She'or zeh mitzaharo mi'apegam apnimi. And this is what Shabbos does. Shabbos is shining that light and purifying us from the inside out. It's allowing us to do tshuva, right? Shav. Tshuva lashuv. Shabbat is milashon shav. The Tivot Shalom quotes on says a bunch of times that Shabbat is actually Roshei Tivot. Shabbat bo tashuv. On Shabbos, do tshuva. On Shabbos, you'll be able to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbat Otiyot is Rosh Hitivot, Shabbat Bo Tashuv. V'hainu lefisha Shabbat iladat ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. That's in Shabbat is a level of ani Hashem mekadishchem. Shekadosh Baruch Hu mashpia b'Shabbat ha'arash midat adat. That on Shabbos, Shekadosh Baruch Hu shines down the midah of dat. V'alidei zeh zochim Yisrael l'tikun midat adat. Then Klai Yisrael is allowed to fix their midah of dat. She'ashabbat mitaharet at adat liyudi, because Shabbos itself is being matar the das of a Jew. V'zehu tarat apnimit. And this is the purification on the deepest of levels. Right? It's part of also, I think it's the Sidur Rosh Shabbat of the Beramayim Chaim, who says that that's one of the reasons why you need to keep, it says that if a person would only keep two Shabbatot, then immediately the world would be Nigal. They would have Geula. Why two Shabbases? Because a person has to have one Shabbos to purify him. And if a person is able to keep Shabbos for two Shabbases, kilu, they maintain the purity which Shabbos bestows upon them, and drag it through the week, and maintain the purity of Shabbos through the week until they reach the second Shabbos. They'll have been metakin every single aspect of the Bria, every single day, every single midah. Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shi, Chamishi, Chule, right? For Yom Shishi and Shabbat, they'll be metahir every single day of the Bria, every single one of the midot, every single aspect of themselves in the world. And then on the second Shabbat, you'll have the Geula. Kilu, not even just keep two Shabbos. Kilu, if you keep Shabbos, if you bring Shabbos into every day of the week, if you maintain that Tahara of Shabbos that we're given every single Shabbat, and you bring it out through 1 week, then you're miyad nigal. You've been talking everything you're supposed to be talking. That's what he says the inyan of it is. Therefore, specifically on Shabbat, a Jew has the ability, has the unique capacity to do tshuva in a way of v'shavta Hashem Elokecha. V'zemu il af lebegamim ha'ela she'en tshuva mo'elep lahen. And this also applies even to the things which seemingly there's no tshuva for. Seemingly there's no tshuva for. Mikoch midat ha'da'at shish b'Shabbos Kodesh, to the midah of da'at of Shabbos Kodesh, ukidiktiv behemshech parshat ha'tshuvat, it says in the continuation, yeah, just there from Parshat Ve'et Chanan, in the parsha of tshuva, im yeni da'checha, no, excuse me, it's not. Could be that the pasuk also appears there. So if he's not talking parshat ha'tshuva, which is in parshat, Nitzavim, in Parsha Nitzavim. I always say they're always together. Nitzavim Vayelech. I think it's Nitzavim, but it might be Vayelech. But I'm fairly confident that it's Nitzavim. Parshat Teshuvah. Kedichtiv behem shesh Parshat Teshuvah. Im yeni dachecha b'ksei ha-shamayim, misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha u'misham yikachecha. So it says there, right? We're familiar with it from the Mishaberach, but it comes from Pasuk, right? That that im yeni dachecha, if you're the ones who were thrown out, are in the farthest reaches of the heavens, beautiful Pesukim. Misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha, from there HaKadosh Baruch Hu will gather you in. Umisham yikachecha, from there He will take you. Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will truly gather in all of the exiles from the four corners of the earth. V'yita b'zor HaKadosh shekatzeh HaShemayim hu midat yisod. Meaning, mikatzeh HaShemayim is the midah of yisod. Meaning, even a Jew who's done, Rahman al-Islam, let's say the most egregious, right? A Jew who's Rahman al-Islam been involved in Giloy Arayot, Mamish adultery. So Misham Yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha, even Mikseh HaShemayim, even if you're on the farthest reaches of the Shemayim, you've pushed yourself as far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as you can possibly go, you've pushed yourself from as far as Kedush as you can possibly go. Even such a person, at that time, Kibbutz Galiot, Misham Yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha, Misham Yikachecha. It shows you the paramount of the Midah of Yisod, like we talked about last time, why Dafka, Yaakov was desperately trying to show the brothers that everything revolves around the Midah of Yisod. Right? V'Yosef HaTzadik, Shaya Kol HaShavua B'Vechinat Shabbat, B'Dat Tzara, Yosef HaTzadik, who is the whole week is in the Bechina of Shabbos, in, like we just talked about, having Shabbos coming with you throughout the week. Zachal acharei hodia lokim otcha at kol zot. The Kadosh Baruch Hu would reveal all of this to him. Ach gam kol yudia chol liskot lezeh b'Shabbat. Any Jew can achieve this on Shabbos. Not just a Yosef who can do this every day of the week, but every Jew can achieve this at the very least on Shabbos. Kishe yoredet ha'ara shel shalosh rishonot. When the upper three open up and they shine down, azu magil adad ki ne'ar Hashem ekadishchem. Then a person gets to a place of ani Hashem ekadishchem. Right, that's why Yosef is also the we have a paragraph left, you can sit in for the last paragraph. The Yosef is also, right, which of the Midot, what number Midah is Yosef? Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yisod. He's the sixth one, which meaning anything revolving six is also going to revolve around the Midah of Yisod. So Shisha, Sidre, Mishnah are going to revolve around the Midah of Yisod. But also, he's the Bechina of Erev Shabbos. He's the Bechina of the way to which to get into, to create a reality of Olam Haba, is all coming through Yosef as well. That's the power which we're not going to get to, which we may get to see, because we're still going to have Shir Tov. Next week's Parsha, Vayigash. What's so cataclysmic about the meeting, the joining together of Yosef and Yehuda, is that it's the Trei Mashiachin, it's the two aspects of Mashiach coming together. It's the Mashiach ben Yosef, who's the harbinger of the ultimate Mashiach, and Mashiach ben David, which is coming from the Malchus of Yehuda. Those two Mashiachot finally being able to come together. Right? So Yosef, this whole Midah of coming, even from the farthest reaches, meaning the last part of the ingathering of the exiles that he's talking about over here, meaning the Tahara on the deepest levels of being, of finally fixing that level of the Midah of Yisod, that's the ultimate way to bring about Yimot HaMashiach. It's not Stam that it's the challenge of our generation. It's not Stam that it's the challenge of the generation that's existing in the year, in the 6,000th group of years. Right? We're in 5775. Right? So what's happening? We're in, meaning like Kilo, we're in the 21st century, even though we're in 2014. So we're 57, but that means that we're in the group of 6,000, we're in the sixth of the 6,000 years. It's all revolving around the Midah of Yisod. That last 100 years, that last 100 years is all revolving around the Midah of Yisod. And those are that's why it's not stunning. Those are the greatest challenges of our generation, because those are the Midas of Yisod, the challenges of Yosef, and the necessity to bring about the Geula that comes about through Yosef is all in this way. It's all coming through this. This is what we're working on. This is Zeinaneh. These are Inanah Dioma from A to Z of everything that we're about. This is what we're talking about. This is we're living in Erev Shabbos. We're that close. And this is what brings it about. To the last paragraph, we'll wrap up. V'zeh pirush ma'amar chazal. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Matana tova yish l'bevit gimzi. V'shabat shma. V'chulei lecha. V'hod di'am. I've never seen him emphasize that part of it before. Tov. He quotes this Gemara all the time by Shabbos. Very powerful Gemara. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a very, very special gift hidden away in my treasure chest. And it's called Shabbos. And the Chulei is, go give it to them. Go and give them da'at of Shabbos. We already know where he's going at this point, right? But dafka that lashon. But it's a beautiful thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls it some sort of precious treasure in his treasure chest and tells Moshe Rabbeinu specifically to give it to the Jewish people. We have a lot to unpack there. Hainu sheyishrish bahem la'asot tachana lekabel midat hadat. Meaning, this is exactly what we're just talking about. Beautiful. Root in them that they need to prepare themselves to receive Shabbos, to receive the Midah of Das. Who's the one who's preparing them to receive the Midah of Das, to receive the Midah of Shabbos? What did we just say? He might not even make the linkage, but think about it for a second. What did we just say? What's the preparation for the Midah of Das? What's the preparation for Shabbos, for Me'ed Olam Abba? Yosef. And what is he being told? Go and prepare yourselves. Who's the preparation for it? Yosef's the preparation for it. Yosef's the hachana. That's what Kabbalah Shabbos is. Kabbalah Shabbos is the hachana. All we can do is be mekabel Shabbat. We can't create Shabbat. We can only be mekabel Shabbat. It's to plug in. It's to get in the zone. That's what we're trying to do. That's what all of this is about. All of this is from the meat of Yosef. All of this is from the meat of Yosef. Shabbos is coming from a place of I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu who purifies you. To purify the dot of a Jew. And anything in Gedusha requires hachana. It requires thinking about it. It requires contemplation. It requires gedarim. It requires consideration. It requires thinking about where you're going to go, what you're going to look at, what you're going to listen to. It requires a lot of work. It requires a lot of work to protect the Midah of Yisod. Lachin amrulo leich vehodiim, go and tell them, go and give them da'at. Shezeu amatanat tovashis tibikansi, because this is the matanah that I have, is this Midah of da'at. This is the matanah I have to Shabbos Kodesh, and to do hachana to be able to mekabel the da'at, to mekabel the Shabbos Kodesh. Bezrat Hashem, we should be zochah. To have the clarity of Yosef, even in the most difficult of times, right? It's an unbelievable thing that Yosef is the one who says to Paro. Paro says, interpret my dreams. He says, interpret your dreams? I don't know what you're talking about, Paro. I can't do that. God does that kind of stuff. He may do it through me. You know, it's very frum. Life-threateningly frum. Yeah. You know? Life-threateningly frum. Again, Paro had turned out happened to be pretty from too. And he goes, God is pretty good to you. But it's an incredible thing. When you think about that moment, when you read that story in the Parsha, recognize what Yosef is basically saying. I know, Paro, that Egypt treats you like you are God, but since you have no clue what's going on in your own mind, I can't help you and you can't help you. Only the actual real God can help you. And he's like, awesome. But that's because Yosef has the clarity to understand. To understand that everything's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to purify himself in a way where he allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be funneled through him, to come to the world through him, to allow him to be an expression of the potential that exists in the spiritual realities, and to have him be that manifestation. And through that, to pave the way for Klal Yisrael to come in glory, Yaakov to come in glory to Mitzrayim, to be able to set the stage for the entirety of Jewish history, for us to be a Melech HaGoanim, a Goy Kadosh, and Yitzias Mitzrayim, by maintaining purity. To allow us to be able to be Mechakel, to have a purity in Achila, by being Mechakel the whole world, to be Mechakel specifically the Jewish people when they come down to Mitzrayim. All of this is by thinking critically and doing the Hachana of Yosef, doing the Hachana of the Midah of Yisod, to be able to live life in Kedusha, by guarding ourselves in the ways of Kedusha and constantly striving for greater and greater levels of Kedusha. Shat Hashem, we should all be Zochah, and through that, see through our efforts the Gula, Mirav Yameinu.